Welcome to The Heart of Healing, the Pandemic Episodes. I'm your host, Tom Fold. In these episodes, we will meet loving, talented people who, while coping with their own pandemic stress, are offering others understanding, compassion, love, and ways to relax and heal, even under the weight of current conditions. Listen with an open heart to those who, in this time of crisis, are offering their hearts and talents to all of us. And today, our guest is a wonderful human being who I'm so happy to meet. And her name is Kathleen Gage. And I'm just fascinated by what I've heard, what you've written up and what I've heard about you. But I want to find out a lot more. I think people will want to know. Hello, Kathleen.
Tom, it's great to be here.
Great to have you here. Now, I have, if you want to have a definition or what do you do, I have written down, you are a practitioner of plant-based nutrition and a person who cares deeply about the welfare of animals.
That is correct. That sums up part of it. And I'm definitely a plant-based nutritionist. I'm a plant-based lifestylist. And that really ties into my compassion for animals. I'm very into animal rescue. We have a whole slew of animals on our property that all but one are rescues. And they kind of showed up on the property and it's like, okay, you need a home. Most have been abused. They come from very sketchy backgrounds. One came out of the Paradise Fires and was owned by a methamphetamine addict, he would carry her around. And finally, he just said, I can't take care of her. A woman found the dog and we ended up with her. One of the horses was left in a very tough situation. You know, just it really is a matter of, I feel part of my life's work is just being there for the animals in a big way.
Well, that's wonderful. One of the things that we started talking about before we started recording was, you know, the possibility of fires and you have to get the animals out.
Yes.
My daughter went to college down in Savannah, Savannah College of Art and Design. And I bring it up because she was an equestrian major and they had over 80 wonderful horses down there. But they also have hurricanes. No fires, but hurricanes. And the big question, I always asked her, how do they evacuate? They say it's an amazing operation of trucks and carriers and everything coming.
Absolutely. It's so interesting because it depends where you are in the world, what type of rescues you do. And there is a whole community of people in our area, a lot of horse people, that as soon as one person puts something on Facebook, it goes into all these groups and people are lining up the trucks and the trailers and they're ready to haul the horses out, the llamas out, the alpacas out, the sheep, the goats. It's quite a production. And wow, we're in a rural farming community. So it's not like just taking a dog out and putting it in your car and driving off. And unfortunately, there's been some recent fires where not all the animals were able to make it out because it literally was like somebody was up in the sky with a blowtorch just burning down houses. And right, people barely got out with their lives. Some didn't. And so unfortunately, there were a lot of animals left behind. And there was a whole group of people who would go in every single day to the restricted areas. They had permits to go in. And they would look for wounded animals, burned animals, unfortunately, some of the perished animals. But they saved quite a few. Our county fairground, it was packed full of animals, everything you can imagine.
And what happened to the ones that were in the county fairgrounds?
A lot of those were actually, they belonged to people who had lost their homes. So the owners, some would sleep with their animals. But I went down the first day that they started building cages and pens and putting sawdust on the ground so that they would have bedding, making sure they had water. Because one thing that happens when there are evacuations, the animals get very stressed and they get dehydrated. So you have to make sure that they have plenty of water. And that's one thing that this whole group of people was doing going into what's called the Blue River area. They were taking tanks of water up just to make sure that the animals had water. So a lot of these animals, they belong to somebody who had lost their home.
Yeah, well, it's so sad, but it's wonderful they're saved. That's wonderful.
Absolutely.
That's wonderful. So how did you begin? I mean, did you just grow up with animals and like animals? And how did you start
You know, that's a great question, Tom. And I've always liked animals when I was a kid. I actually had a frog farm that my dad helped me build. We lived right near a creek, so I'd go get the little tadpoles and put them in water until they became frogs. And my dad helped me build a frog farm. I would.
What does a frog farm look like?
Well, it was in a big box, basically, with dirt on the bottom. And my dad helped me to create it. But okay. So I called it my frog farm. I had an ant farm. I would bring home snakes. And when I brought home a rattler, my dad said, okay, enough is enough. You can't do that anymore. I just found this snake and somehow I managed to get it in a little paper bag. It was a baby snake. And I found out baby rattlers are more dangerous than full grown. But anyway, all my life I've loved animals. And I didn't really, there was a long period of time that I didn't have animals in my early adulthood because I actually went down kind of a wayward path in my life with drugs and alcohol. I've been sober 36 years. And when I got sober, I was able to really come into my own of who I am. And I think, you know, the drugs and alcohol, whenever anybody's addicted, that's a form of escape. And so it was just facing who I am in my own life with all whatever demons I had that now have all been resolved. And now I've been blessed to have property and have animals and be able to donate to animal rescue organizations. And my business actually supports a lot of my, if you will, my guilty pleasure. Because in business, I'm a visibility strategist and online marketer. And that actually ties in very nicely with what I do with plant-based eating, with animal rescue. And it was about 2 years ago that I became plant-based. And it's so interesting, Tom, because it was one of those moments of clarity where here I talked about being so compassionate to animals, how much I love animals, I care about the animals. And one day I'm going, but I eat animals. That doesn't make sense. And so it was really kind of a spiritual awakening, if you will.
That's quite an awakening, isn't it?
It is. And since that day, I have not touched one piece of meat, one piece of poultry, fish, dairy. I do no animal-based products whatsoever.
Well, because you are a nutritionist and have obviously you know how to do that and stay healthy, because there are lots of questions or thoughts out in the world that, you know, not eating meat protein is bad for you, but obviously you look quite well.
I'm very, very healthy. And it's interesting because a lot of what we have been led to believe is true is propaganda. It's fueled by the food manufacturers and the dairy manufacturers. They put millions upon millions of dollars into ad campaigns to convince us that we need something we actually don't. And if you look at it, where a lot of the protein comes from that animals get, that we kind of get in a secondary way, is from plants. And so your green vegetables have a lot of protein, beans, legumes, all of that has so much protein, and we don't even need as much as we've been led to believe. But I'm extremely healthy. I have my water bottle that I drink two of these a day. So I drink a gallon of water a day. I exercise. I just got back from a 3-mile run. This morning I did 45 minutes of yoga, and I just turned 66, and I just feel like the older I get, the younger I'm getting.
Well, you certainly look very young. So that's a very good compliment for the method you use. Now let's go back again, like the first question of, you know, when did you get into the animals? When did you get into plant nutrition? Because you had a life before that was clearly not based on nutrition.
I was definitely a carnivore. And yes, at one point in my life, I would say I was the complete opposite of who I am today. I drank to excess. I ate foods that just weren't healthy. I was about 60 pounds heavier than I am now. And a lot of that was just self-destructive behavior. I mean, bottom line, there's no two ways to put it. It's just like, I didn't like who I was. So I did what I could to destroy who I was. And fortunately, I found my way to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And that actually was the beginning of turning my life around. And that was 36 years ago. But I've been very interested in health and nutrition for probably about 3.5 decades since getting sober. It was like, okay, I want to start taking care of myself. And it's interesting because I've explored a lot of different protocols. And the one that makes the most sense to me and the one that aligns most with my spiritual beliefs is plant-based eating. And you can call it vegan, you can call it plant-based, but it's a diet completely void of any animal and dairy products.
And how did you learn of this?
I did a lot of research, and I actually got my certification at the age of 65. I went to Cornell University remotely, and I got certified in plant-based nutrition. T. Colin Campbell wrote a book called, Dr. T. Colin Campbell, called The China Study, and for 20 years, he studied what they call the blue zones, and those are the healthiest areas in the world where they found that the people in those zones actually eat a very high plant-based diet. And so I just started researching, read a lot of books. I've probably read 30, 40 books on it. I've watched a lot of documentaries. I've talked to a lot of experts. My doctor was very supportive of me going plant-based. And it's interesting because a lot of doctors don't get proper nutrition training. We think they do, but they actually don't. They get very little nutritional training. And my doctor knew somebody who was a plant-based nutritionist, a physician assistant, and she recommended that I talk with him. He and I have become really good friends. He put on a 12-week course where it was free to the public, and this was before the pandemic, so we could go to these classes in person. But I put hundreds upon hundreds of hours into the research to really determine, is this the best choice for me? And it has been.
Do you believe that it's the best choice for everyone, or is there some not so clear about everything?
You know, if I were to pick one eating protocol out of, you know, there's the keto, there's the Atkins, there's the plant-based, there's the vegan, which vegan, you can be vegan and still eat unhealthy. That's why I like to say plant-based. But out of all of them, plant-based is probably the closest to the healthiest for virtually anybody. However, there's certain vitamin supplements that you need to add in. B12 is one, and D vitamin if you don't get outside a lot. But for the most part, if you eat a well-balanced and you eat enough calories, that's the interesting thing about plant-based eating. A lot of people, they don't eat enough, and so they don't have enough energy, and they're like, well, this obviously isn't for me. Well, if they increase their calorie intake, they probably will be okay. But it's really looking at eating a balanced diet. So I would say that this is probably the closest to the healthiest diet that virtually anybody could be on. But of course, you have to use your own judgment, because with some people, they can eat tofu, for example, and that's soy. Other people can't eat soy. And so you have to really tap into intuitively what's the best for you. But when people say, oh, I could never give up cheese, it's not that they couldn't, it's that they're addicted to cheese, because cheese is made to get us addicted. And it's that they're choosing not to, because virtually anything we want to do in life, if we really put our mind to it and we look at our big why, we can do it.
Right. I agree. When somebody wants to, you know, hears this or has already been thinking about this and would like to make a change, how would you recommend they go about it so that they really get the best effect?
That is such a great question. I would say do some research first. And one of the best books that I can recommend is Eat to Live by Dr. Joel Fuhrman. It's Eat to Live by Dr. Joel Fuhrman. And another book is How Not to Die by Dr. Greger. And that's Greger, I believe. The China Study is another one. Those three books will give you a nice foundation. But you may want to talk to a nutritionist in your local market and see if they'll come into your home and actually help you to evaluate how successful you're going to be based on the way you have your kitchen set up. Because it's just like somebody going into recovery. If an alcoholic goes into a 12-step program and they still have the vodka in the cabinet and they still have the beer in the refrigerator and they still have the cocaine in the drawer, there's a really good chance that they're going to have a slip.
Yeah, quite so, a big chance.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, let's look at this. But for somebody who really wants to make a change in their eating, it's really looking at how often you say, I'll start tomorrow, or I'll start on Monday, or I'll start on the first of the month. It's a matter of what kind of health do you want? Because the studies that have been done, if you get blood work and you get blood work while you're a carnivore, and then you get blood work a month or two into eating a really healthy plant-based diet, people are shocked at some of the reversals. I actually have a podcast show where I interview men and women from all walks of life. One gentleman dropped 140 pounds and reversed six different diseases, including diabetes. Diabetes type 2, not type 1, but type 2 diabetes, the greatest cause of that is what we're eating. It's not something that is in the genes. It's not something that's passed down from generation to generation. It's passed down from diet to diet. And many times a child will eat the way they've been taught by their parents. And so as you look at what conditions you have, notice what foods you've been eating.
Well, now coming from the point of view of who wants to give up anything, like I'm with you in the sense that I believe I'm addicted to cheese. I can, when you say that, I can believe that because of my own, I'll go to the refrigerator. What do I want to eat? Oh, some more cheese. Why not? So how do you recommend or help people with this addiction problem? Because it's an addiction problem.
Well, the one thing that I always suggest people look at is what is your big why? And if it's for health reasons, we can work from that perspective. If it's for compassion to animals, then I've really got an edge on what's going on because I can recommend that they actually study factory farming. If anybody who has a heart would study factory farming, they would be shocked. I mean, most people have no clue what goes on in factory farms and how baby calves are taken away within hours of being born from their mother because the mother produces the milk. And it, if it's a male calf, it's killed. If it's a female, it's put into a certain condition to grow so it can reproduce. So I would recommend that depending on why somebody wants to make a change, that they really look into on the health side, get some blood work done and find out what your numbers are and then try it for 30 days and then have your blood work done again. You'll be shocked. Nine times out of 10, people are amazed at how rapidly they have a reversal of a condition. If it's about the animals, do your research on factory farming. I think that in and of itself would, for most people, convince them that, well, maybe I don't need to be a part of that.
Right. Are there people who have the same passion that you do or similar passion who are coaches in this area?
Oh, absolutely.
In so many areas.
Absolutely. I have a Facebook group where I have quite a few people that are as passionate as I am. I've got a podcast show where I bring people on. And the criteria for my podcast show, they have to be 100% plant-based vegan. If they're 95%, they don't come on the show. And I had somebody who told me recently, well, I sold 5 million books and I'm 90% of the way there. And I said, great, when you're 100% of the way there, come and talk to me. Because the number of books you've sold doesn't impress me. What impresses me is if you're fully aligned with the plant-based lifestyle, because that's what I bring to my audience. I don't want to have somebody that secretly on Saturday night eats a bunch of cheese when we're trying to advocate a cruelty-free animal lifestyle.
Well, it's quite a struggle, I would think, for people like myself. I don't mean to get in here too deeply, but I can see my addiction. I can see I've done a lot over my years from the years when I used to work in advertising and had steak and potatoes, but still,
absolutely,
I'm far away from plant-based.
You know, and Tom, I was too. That's the thing. I grew up with a mother who was from Europe, and on Sundays we'd have a big, huge roast with baked potatoes and mashed potatoes, and meat was a big part of my upbringing. So when people say, "Oh, you don't get it," I grew up with meat and potatoes. Well, so did I, and you know, it's not something that everybody may subscribe to, and that's okay. My whole purpose is to just share my story, and if it impacts people and they want to try it, I'm more than happy to talk to people. We have a Facebook group that they can check out. It's Plant-Based Eating for Health. Just go to Plant-Based Eating for Health, and I love talking to people. I don't even charge to consult with people about plant-based eating. That's something I do strictly out of passion. My business with visibility strategies, that's where I make my money. And my passion is really helping people to become aware of the choices they're making. And so I'm not trying to say, oh, you have to make the change. Really, it's a matter of what's aligned with what you say is true in life. If somebody says they're so compassionate to animals and they're eating animals, there's a disconnect there. And if you look at the whole situation with the pandemic right now, the majority of people that are having complications have underlying causes. It's if they're in great shape, if they're healthy, if their blood work is great, chances are they're not going to have the kind of complications that somebody who's obese would have.
Speaking of the pandemic, which is so easy to speak of these days, what do you see down the road? Do you think this is teaching us something?
I think for me, what, you know, it's funny because today when I went on my run, I was just processing everything that's been going on with the pandemic, with the economy, with the fires that are going on. And it's really for me about stripping away all those things that are not that important and looking at what are my priorities. One more time, I have an opportunity to say my health, my family, my animals, my God, that's what's important. And I think if anything, there are those people who will learn something very positive from this. And there's other people, they'll go further and further into their fear. And it's really unfortunate because it would be great if we could wave a magic wand and say, okay, everybody got a lesson, whatever the lesson is. But unfortunately, some people don't want the lesson. I find it so interesting that people are willing to wear masks, they're willing to wash their hands, they're willing to do the social distancing, but ask them to change something in their eating protocol. And they're like, oh no, anything but that. Well, that's the underlying cause. That's what is in the foundation. And so if you can go beneath the surface and look at the foundation and grow from there, we wouldn't have a lot of the problems that we have. But unfortunately, I think that a lot of people are very stuck in the way that they live, and God bless them for that. Hopefully, there are those of us who are willing to step up to the plate and share our story, share our message, that maybe we can influence people in a very positive way.
Well, I'm glad you are willing to do that, because I would also like to help people in a very positive way. And I do think the pandemic has been putting truth into the concept of one day at a time.
Absolutely.
Just be here now. And that's all we can actually do. I mean, we can talk, we can have podcasts, but we must be present. And I'm also hoping, and I don't know how you feel about this, but I'm also hoping that people will get closer to the questions and answers for themselves about spirituality, that this will come up in this time.
Absolutely. And, you know, as I look at my own life, Tom, and I love what you're doing with your show, and really raising the awareness by bringing different people to your community so that we can share our message. But as I look at the most spiritual experiences I've had in my life, there's two that really stand out in my mind. There's many, 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 because I've been on a spiritual journey for decades. I actually have meditated on pyramids in Mexico, in Egypt. I've done, you know, some pretty crazy things. But getting sober was one, and going plant-based was the other. To me, those are the two most spiritual things that I've done in my life, because getting sober, I was honoring my body and my soul. With plant-based, I'm honoring the animals, the planet, and my health.
Yeah, and your body again. I mean, it's absolutely really honoring your body and taking care of it.
And that's absolutely
wonderful. That's wonderful. Well, I'm very pleased to know you, to hear you, and to... What do you have any visions in terms of the future for yourself and for the rest of the people around you?
Well, thank you for asking that, Tom, because what I really see is for me to just show up every day and do what I'm called to do. And one of the things I ask on a daily basis is, how may I serve? And that shows up in many different ways. It could be that I'm at the grocery store and there's somebody that I can see probably is struggling to pay their grocery bill. And maybe I'm being called to pay their grocery bill on that particular occasion, and on another occasion, not. But other times my service comes by being on podcast shows like yours. But I would say what my vision is to just keep putting my message out there, and it'll land where it lands. And those people that are meant to hear it, they'll hear it at just the time they need to hear it.
Absolutely. I think that's a wonderful philosophy. And I was just wondering, because I'm looking at, as we are on a Zoom call, I'm looking at these beautiful windows behind you. I'm just thinking, it's a beautiful area you live in. You're in a country area, is that what you're saying?
I actually live in a very rural community in Oregon, outside of Eugene, Oregon. We're in a farming community. We have some acreage across from the Willamette River, and I feel very, very blessed to live where I live.
Well, it's a blessing, and I just hope the fires stay away.
I do too. I do too. And, you know, not just for me, but for all the people that there's been a lot of loss and tragedy. But I'll tell you one thing about our community, and I think this happens all over the place. You get to see the best of people during times like this. People step up to the plate. They open their homes up to people, and they're there to help.
That's absolutely right. I mean, I think it sounds trite in a way because Mr. Rogers said it, but he said, look for the helpers. And I think that is what we all need to do in this day and age.
Mr. Rogers was a wise, wise man.
Yes, he was. And I remember, I tell a story, which has nothing to do with this, but anyway, when my daughter was at nursery school, they had a fire in the nursery school, and the firemen came. And my daughter said, good, they're the good men. And she got that from Mr. Rogers.
Nice.
And that's where she learned it. And she's never forgotten it either, which is wonderful.
That's wonderful.
So we can be the good guys. And
absolutely.
Help absolutely. People. And that's what you're doing. So Kathleen, thank you so much for being on this show.
And it's been delightful.
Before we fully end here, if people who are watching, listening, I should say, would like to get in touch with you, learn more about what you offer, either on the business side or on the food side, how is best for them to reach you?
Thank you for asking, Tom. On the business side, they can go to powerupforprofits.com. That's plural, powerupforprofits.com. On the plant-based nutrition side, go to plantbasedeatingforhealth.com, plantbasedeatingforhealth.com.
Can we go with that Power for Profits again? I have the other one written down, but...
powerupforprofits.com.
Profits.com. Okay.
Yes.
That's
good. And then plantbasedeatingforhealth.com.
.com. Wonderful.
Awesome.
Well, I hope many people come and talk to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for being on the show. And I thank the audience for listening to this show once again for another episode of The Heart of Healing, the pandemic episodes.